Get me situated back there. So can you guys hear me? Yeah, oh, there we go. Praise God. Well, we're just going to get right into it. We've already had church, and here I'm on the end of it, but I believe I have a word for the Lord for everyone here. And if you can catch this, it will really set you free. So, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we already thank you, Lord, for meeting us here today. Your presence and your word, your spirit has been here so powerfully already. And Lord, we're just rejoicing, oh Lord, that you are our living God, that we're experiencing a living Christ. You are alive. You're not dead. You're not some God far away who doesn't have anything to do with us. But Lord, you want to be every part with us in everything and in every way. And we thank you that you love us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, well, I have a lesson today, and it's called The Weapons of Our Warfare. Okay? So, we're all in a battle on many fronts, but God has given to us what is needed to win. And A says, there's a war going on, y'all. But you know, some people aren't even aware there's a war going on, right? They just think life is life and life just happens. But there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, all right? There's not only just natural things happen, there's spiritual things happening, right? And so there's things happening that we are not aware of. So our enemy, we have an enemy, and his name is the devil, and he has minions, and he loves to come against us. The only way he can come against us is in the shadows. He has to be sneaky about it, because if he just frontal attack, we'd take him out. But he is sneaky. He has a way of coming against us and working against us and taking and stealing from us. But we don't see him. We just think we're living life. Oh, this is just life. But the enemy is working in the background to cause us not to live in the victory that Jesus has won and paid for us. Okay? So we're going to read 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay? So, we live in the flesh or the natural world, but are not limited, that's your fill-in, by the natural. That is when, you know, verse 3 says, for we walk in the flesh. Oh, we live in this natural world, but we don't war according to the flesh, right? Once we are born again, now a new world in the spirit, as you're feeling, has opened to you. Listen, before someone's born again, they're living in the spirit, but they have no access to live in the spirit, you know, with God, all right? Our spirit was dead, right, to God. We were disconnected from God because of our sin. But when we receive Jesus Christ, we're now connected again with God. Sin has been taken away, all right? So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you come to this cross and you bow the knee and see that he paid for your sin, it's your sin that put him there, and he died for your sin. And you receive his forgiveness, and then once you receive it again, he becomes your Lord and your Savior, all right? Well, then you become alive unto Christ. You become alive to God. Your spirit becomes alive again, all right? And now you have new possibilities in the spirit. Before you were saved, you were subject to the god of this world, and that's the devil. And whatever he saw fit for you to have, that's what you have, because he treated you like a slave. He is withholding from you everything that God intended for you to have. He wants you to be like a worm in the dirt, you know, just getting by, when God wants us like a butterfly to be free and enjoy life. That's the difference. That is the difference. So John 3, 5-6 says, Jesus answered, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay? We are a spirit that is alive under Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, we become alive under Christ. We're born again, and now we have a living spirit that is connected to God. Okay? Everyone who has not received Jesus is still in the flesh, and they don't have this connection. So C says, we are at war with the devil and his kingdom. So having been born again of the Spirit, we are now in the kingdom, which is your fill-in, of Jesus Christ. Let's read Philippians 3 and 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we are also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Colossians 1 and 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now there's two kingdoms, the kingdom of the devil of this world, and there's a kingdom of Jesus Christ and the saints, all right? You don't want to be in this kingdom. You want to be in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, all right? A lot of people want to come to the United States. I know a lot of people say, that, oh, the United States is awful, but it is the most blessed nation in the world. And whether we here see that or understand that, the rest of the world sees. And if you ask them, they'll say, the United States is a blessed nation under God. Even though we don't see it and we want to get out from underneath it. But you know what? Everybody in the whole world wants to come live here. Right? Well, that's how you want to be. If you're in this kingdom, you want with everything you got to get from this kingdom to this kingdom. Right? And you can't make it from this kingdom to that kingdom without coming to the cross. Right? Before you were a slave and there's no way you could free yourself. All right? If you were to die in your sins, you would go where the devil is going to go, and that's to hell. Okay? His kingdom has been judged. A lot of people think, oh, if I do enough good and it outweighs the bad, then maybe God will receive. No. We've all been born in sin. We've all been born, you know, into this kingdom of the devil and the god of this world. All right? And there was no way for us to free ourselves. We're chained to him. And the only way that we can get from this kingdom to the kingdom of Jesus Christ is to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. You have to know and understand that what he did, what Jesus did, he goes, I want to take your place. I want to take your place. Will you let me take your place? That's all you have to do is let me take your life and then you take my life. Okay? And you have to just say, yes, I'll take it and bow the knee. Make him your Lord and your King, and then you receive everything. You come out of this kingdom and you get to go into this kingdom. But Jesus took your place. He is now taking your place. So what happens is now what was going to happen to you, Jesus took that, all right? We're the ones deserve to be whooped and crucified and go to hell. But you know what? Jesus did all those things for us so that we would not have to. So there is a way to come from this kingdom and come in this way, and that's to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior. And then you get to come over here. The thing is not only did he rescue us from a fate that we could not get away from, he has given us everything. He goes, not only am I going to take your place and give you my life, everything that I have, I give to you. This is what we have access to in the Spirit. This is what the devil does not want you to know. He wants you to think that you're stuck over here in what he decided to give to you. But Jesus has so much more for us that we can enjoy. But we have to access it by faith. Okay? So, I hope that everyone here has received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. But at the end, we'll have an opportunity. If you want to go from that kingdom to this kingdom, if you want to escape the devil's clutch in hell one day and be able to be saved and get into the kingdom of Jesus Christ and one day go to heaven, it's going to be it's available to you today. And I encourage, if you haven't, please do so. Don't wait. Don't wait. Okay? So, the devil's kingdom is darkness, lies, and bondage. Let's read John 8:44. It says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. The only way he can keep you from enjoying everything that Jesus has bought and paid for you is that he wants you to believe in these lies, that you're stuck over here when Jesus has set you free to be able to receive everything in the kingdom. The only way he can keep you from living this life is for to speak lies and deception to you and make you believe that this you're here and not over there in the kingdom. So John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and life abundantly. Hallelujah. This life comes through Jesus Christ. But the devil doesn't want you to have that life. He wants you to allow him to keep stealing from you, killing you, and destroying your life. Okay? So, Jesus' kingdom is light. He wants to cast light on this spiritual world. Now look, guys, we can't see the spirit world, right? What's going on in the spirit? The only way we can see what's going on in the spirit is if we open this up and we read about it. Okay? If the devil can keep you out of this book, then he can keep you deceived. He can keep lying to you, and you can be stuck over here, even though everything, Jesus has given you everything in this kingdom. But if you believe his lies, his deception, then you're stuck. So, how important is this word? It is very important, you know? You want to have a better life? You're going to have to get in this word. You're going to have to read and see what all that Jesus has delivered us from, but also what he's delivered us to. What he has given you. You can't believe his lies any longer. You have to know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Let's see. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So all you who have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been set free. You're no longer a slave. You've been brought into the kingdom. And man, he even went a step further than that. He goes, you're just not going to be slaves of the kingdom. I'm going to make you my sons and my daughters. With all the privileges that a son and daughter of God would have. Wow. That's the truth. Okay? You're not this, you know, sinner, you know, you're not just the sinner anymore. You have become a saint. It's not that you don't sin. It's that because if you receive Jesus now, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, and you have been made a saint through Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's where you stand. That's how you can receive everything. It's because of what Jesus did, not because what you did. You just receive it by faith of what Jesus has done. So let's see. Let's read John 18:36-37. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus was the only one who ever came from the other side, right? From God. So when he came, he was telling everybody about what it, how it really is, you know, about the devil and his lies, and that he, you know, he's defeated, and that we were sinners and we need a savior, and that savior is Jesus Christ. But he also wanted to reveal the Father, you know. Until then, they had no real true idea who God was, who the Father was. But through Jesus Christ, he revealed him. Right? But we could not know that because we're on this side in the natural. There's no way we could see into the spirit. But he came from that world and lived in that world. So he was able to reveal him. So D says, what are these weapons that are mighty through God? It is the truth, the word of truth. So your fill-in is weapons. So we know we have a weapon. And let's see, Ephesians 6 and 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Also, let's read Hebrews 4 and 12. I like that picture, by the way. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, so our scripture that we shared first of all was 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. And verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare. Okay, so we have weapons, but our weapon is the word of God. All right, and it is powerful. The word of God is his truth that has been revealed to us in his word. All right, we call this the sword of the Spirit, right? The word of God. So we have our weapons against the devil and against his lies is his word. All right, it's powerful. Let's see. Now, warfare. Let's see. Yeah, so E, warfare. Warfare is the strategy on how you intend to win the battle. Now, the devil's strategy is to keep you from knowing who you are and what you have been given in Jesus. That is what he's trying to keep you from. So 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. But guys, even as a believer, he is still blinding our minds to the truth, okay? So here's a testimony. I got saved when I was 17. I was born again, and what a blessed event it was. You know, everything changed for me. And I started going to church, or I was going to church and got saved. While I was going to church, a word came forth, and it said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And the pastor said, greater is Jesus in you than he who is out in the world. And it exploded in me. This was something that I needed. What? Now, this is what has happened to me as far as age 4, as far as I can remember. Every so often, every few days, I would get woken up at night. And I would have the hair on my arms just come up. This presence, this evil presence would come into my room. Well, when I was small, I'd run screaming and crying to my mom and dad. Well, my dad got fed up with it and whipped me and said, put me in the living room on my knees. And so when you stop crying, then you can go back, you can go back to bed. So I had no way of coming against this. And so I got saved when I was 17. Up till I was 17, this presence was still coming. Even after I got saved, this presence kept coming. Okay, terrorizing me. I would stand up on the bed. Oh, by the way, I would never turn the light off. I had to have the light on in the bedroom because I was terrified. I would stand on the bed and I would get enough courage to leap as far as I can because I didn't know where it was. I just could feel its presence. I'd run into the living room, I'd turn the lights on, I'd turn the TV on, I'd turn the radio on, and I would sit just hugging a pillow, you know, just hoping to try to go back to sleep and forget this. I had no way of winning against this foe until I had received that word. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. When I heard that word, something exploded in me. And I'm like, I have got my answer. Right? So I was ready. I was waiting for the silver presence to come into my room. And here it came. I felt it come through the door. And I immediately say, greater is he, Jesus, in me than you in this world. And you have to go. And it went away. So you can still be in bondage if you don't know the truth. You need the truth of this word to combat what the devil is throwing against you and trying to keep you in bondage. You have to get into this word and let the Holy Spirit reveal these things so that you, when the enemy comes, it's, I've got an answer for that. I've got an answer for that. He is good. So yes, you can still be in bondage until you have the truth so that it can set you free, so that you can walk in. All right. Now, that devil didn't leave me alone. About a couple days later, he came back again. And I'm like, I've got my answer. Greater is he that is in me than you in this world. You have to go. And it would go. And a few weeks later, it came again. And then a few months later, and then a year later, and then eventually, you know, it's like, well, that's not working anymore. So he stopped coming. All right? I had gained the victory, but we have an enemy, and we have to understand that sometimes he wants to come back and take the ground that you took. All right? You know, sometimes you get healed, and the devil comes back sneakily. He goes, and all of a sudden you go, oh, that pain's back. But I guess it didn't last or it didn't work. The devil's trying to get you to let it back in. So instead of taking the word of God, says, no, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I will not receive this. I'm going to continue to enjoy this healing that Jesus bought and paid for. Right? But a lot of people just take it back. They're like, oh, it didn't work. And the devil's like, I got him. We have to understand that he wants to come lie to you, sneak in, you know. He speaks to you in your mind. You think it's you, you know. Or sometimes you might even think it's God. He'll pretend to be God and tell you a lie so that you'll take back, or you'll allow him to put you in bondage again. The strategy of the devil. He wants to keep you where you are. He wants to keep you let him continue to steal from you and keep you from the truth. Yep. All right? So, let's see. God's strategy, which is your next fill-in, is for you to know the truth of who you are and what you have been given in Jesus. So John 16, 13, and 14 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Hallelujah. Right? Now Jesus said, look, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you by my Spirit. He will be just like me, and he will guide you into all truth. Without the Holy Spirit opening this word and bringing it from a written word to a rhema word or a spoken word, a live word, then that's when you have this now in your arsenal. But it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal these things because it's Spirit. You know, we're still trying to work through this life with our natural mind. And a lot of times we think we're only natural, but we also, there's a spiritual side to us, all right? And the only way to know and understand that is through the Word and through the Spirit. Let's see. So 2 Corinthians 4:4. think that's where I'm at. Let's see. Oh, well, here we go. We'll read this one. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, okay? The thing is if you finally know the truth and you're walking in the truth, you've been given this arsenal, you know, of his words, these swords and powerful weapons, you know, then you've got something to combat when the lies of the devil comes and try to steal from you, okay? So that was his prayer for the Ephesians. Say, okay, so F. Now, this is a key thing. Now, where is the battle? Strongholds of lies and deception. So lies and deception in your mind are where the battle is taking place. Now the devil wants to think that you're having to come up, you're warring against something out here, you know. There's strongholds in the heaven and we need to bring them down, you know, and your focus is up there when your focus needs to be between your ears, right? Your mind, okay? God's strategy to win the battle is this. You take his word and you get it in here and you come against any lie and deception, anything that is contrary to the word of God. You need to come to the point where you say, I know that is a lie. God said this. And if any man says that, then that's a lie. If what God says is the truth, let every man be a liar. And God be true. That is where you need to stand. Don't receive anything that is contrary to what God's word says. Right? So if the devil can keep you from believing the truth in your heart, then he can keep you bound. So when there's a war going on, and we always hear about this, a lot of times they'll do an embargo. So an embargo is they're trying to keep supplies from the enemy, right? So they set up boats and checkpoints and all this stuff because they want to make sure that they do not have what they need to be able to make battle. Well, the devil's strategy is the same way, all right? The embargo, or what he blocks, is he tries to block the truth in your mind, because he does not want it to get into your heart, okay? We've had a lot of teaching about the heart. The heart is where you believe from. It is where the power of God is released from. So what happens is the devil puts lies up here to block the word of God from getting into your heart. Because if it can't get past these lies and deceptions that you have up in here, then it can't get into your heart. That is where the battle is happening. You need to spend time, and whatever it takes is get it to where that you know that you know that you know that God said this and that these things are a lie. That what you have that Jesus has given to you is true. And I will not relent until I have the fullness of what Jesus Christ has bought and paid for. Let's see, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you don't believe it in your heart, you can't receive it. You have to believe it in your heart. When you know that you know that you know that you believe it in your heart, then by faith you can confess Jesus as your Lord and get saved. Or you confess Jesus as your healer and get healed. Or you confess Jesus as your provider and be provided for. Or you confess, you know, that he is your friend and he always walks and talks with you. You know, you're never alone. You're never alone because he's always with you. You know, one of the things when I got saved, I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. And, you know, I knew. That was the truth I knew, and I wanted to be saved from that. But after I got saved, I discovered something. I have the living Christ living in me, and that he was walking and talking to me. He was telling me that he loved me, and that he was with me always, and that I was never alone. You know, before I got saved, it didn't matter if I was at a party with 100 people. I felt alone. I didn't understand. Everybody else was laughing and doing this and doing that. And I was like, why do I feel so alone? Was other people dealing with this? I had no idea. But after I got saved, that went away. Praise God. You are not alone. You're not alone. So Romans 12 and 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay? So we have to transform our mind. So the battle is between the ears. It's up here. And what the devil has done is he's come and set up strongholds. There you go. So when an enemy comes in and they take new ground, what they do is they come in, they take the ground, and they fortify, right? They build something that they can, with walls and gates and stuff like that, so that they can defend the land that they've taken. Well, unfortunately, when we're born in this natural world, the devil immediately tries to start setting up fortresses in your mind, saying that, no, you cannot have this. No, you can't ever be something great, you know. Oh, my gosh. No, you can't achieve greatness because of your color. No, you can't achieve grace because you're a woman. No, you can't have what those people have because you were born poor, you know. Or he'll say, oh, because you're not smart enough or you're not pretty enough. Or he'll tell you all these lies to try to and fortify those lies in you so that you can't even see or conceive that you can do that, you can triumph in life, that you can have a beautiful, successful life. Okay? These are thoughts, these are fortresses in your mind. The only way to combat those things is to come into the Word, get in the Word of God. You know? God says, I know the plans I have for you. And they're good, right? It doesn't matter what hand you've been dealt, because God is on your side. He can cause you to triumph in whatever adversity you're dealing with. It doesn't matter what the devil has dealt you, the hand he's dealt you. You have got Jesus on your side, right? I saw this. I was praying for a sister, and I saw this image. I saw the sister on this side of the table and the devil on that side of the table, and they were playing cards, okay? And so the devil laid down his card, cancer. You've got cancer, all right? Next card down, so you're going to die. Next card is, oh, you're going to leave your family. What's your family going to do? The next card is, oh, you're going to be in such pain and agony. Next card is, because of this, your family's going to leave God. They're no longer believing that. You know? And you're like, oh my gosh. But then I saw her cards. The first card she laid down was Jesus. Trumped all those cards. None of those cards mattered after that. It covered them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, no, I'm going to have life and have it abundantly. By the stripes of Jesus, by the way, devil, I was healed and I am healed. Cancer, you've got a name, whatever your name is, and that name, you're going to bow to the name of Jesus. Beautiful, right? So he wants to come and get you to believe that. He wants to bluff you into folding. He's a good bluffer, right? So what you've got to do is you have to know what you've been given through Jesus Christ. So no matter what the devil comes and says, you've got their trump card. Jesus paid it all. Jesus has given me his word and the truth. I know the truth, and you're a liar. And guess what, devil? I win. So, let's see. G, we take strongholds captive and rule over them, not them over us. Matthew 11 and 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, a lot of people think you're having a battle against heaven so heaven will give you what it's promised. But that is not where the battle's taking place. The battle's taking place up in here. Lies and deception, all right? And you have to, with all you have and all the violence you can, to take the word of God and say, no. No, I will not believe that. I will only believe the truth, the word of God, so that I can enjoy everything. That's how you enjoy heaven, because heaven's been given to you. Everything in heaven has been given to you. And then let's see, Matthew 16 and 18 says, and I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Okay? We're not bombarding heaven and trying to get heaven to give it, because God says, I've given you everything in Jesus, right? The one who's keeping it from us is the devil, his lies and deceptions, okay? So God wants to say, when you take his truth, whatever fortress has set up, you can take those gates, and you can go in there and destroy the devil and his lies. And then you fortify with the word of God, the truth, so that no matter how many times he tries to come back and take that ground with his lies and his deception, that you can stand because you have fortified those areas. So I will share one other thing. You know, the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, kind of a salvation experience. They were baptized through the Red Sea, all right? So they're coming through the desert, and they come to the promised land, right? God says, I've given you the land. 10 of them said, no, we can't do it. They believed what the devil was telling them and whispering to them. They believed it so much that they even lied to the other believers, the other Israelites. But there was two that says, no, we're well able in God to take. It doesn't matter what foe is in there, right? But because they didn't believe, they had to go out in the desert for 40 years, right? God said in Hebrews that the reason they did not enter in is because they did not mix the word with faith. They didn't believe what God said, all right? So God couldn't bring them into the promised land until they believed, and it took 40 years. Now, I hope it doesn't take that you get that long to get the truth and get out of the desert, you know. God wants you to bring you from the desert into the promised land. Being in the desert is needing miracles. God is the God of miracles, and if you need a miracle, then he is ready to do it. He's well able to do it, okay? Whether directly for you or whenever somebody else prays for you or whatever, the miracle can come to meet your need. But where he really wants you to be is in the promised land. Living in the kingdom and all the promises, you know, that he has promised. And when you're in there, you don't need a miracle of healing because you walk in health. You don't need a miracle of finances because you've got all you need and then some so that you can bless others, right? You don't need, you know, for someone to help, you know, help you up because you're already up. Right? That's the promised land. God wants to get you out of the desert where you need the miracles to the promised land. And that only comes through reading and understanding the truth. Don't let the devil steal from you. Stop fighting out there, right? You need to start understanding the battles here. So what you need to do is you need to stay in this word. Ask the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, to enlighten this, to take it so that you've got weapons, so when the devil tries to come to steal from you and lie from you, then you are able to to say no, devil. Or if there's something there you see from the word, like, oh my gosh, this needs to go. But then you get the, and then you take that land, you take down that fortress, those lies, so that then you can walk into those promises and what God has given you. Okay? So, thank you, Jesus. That's the end. I hope that helps you. Because me understanding this has really helped me, you know. God wants so much better for you. Don't settle for what the devil has given you or bound you to. There's a freedom that can come through his word, through the spirit, and that you can really enjoy. How many loves Ronnie's testimonies? Guys, that should be a normal thing in every son and daughter of God's life. A normal thing. Well, how can that be? Well, come against those lies and start walking in those promises. You know, Andrew Womack says, I haven't been sick in 40 years. And some people go, that's impossible. Well, I mean, the word of God says it's possible, and he believes it, and that's why he's able to walk through it. But you know what? That's a possibility for you too. You know and understand the truth. You've got it fortified in your mind. You have it in your heart. You believe it. You know that you know that you know it's the truth, and you can walk in and have it. And that's what we want you to have. Every bit of what God has given us, God wants you to have. But there's a war going on. There's a war going on.